What's up, everybody? Joined by one of my favorite guests, one of our first podcast guests, head coach Pedro Trevino of the Rutgers Newark men's volleyball team, the morning before their CVC semifinal matchup against Marymount University. Coach, thanks for the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I know you're not going to want to talk too much about it, but the first round match win against Ramapo was your 100th career victory. So congrats.
Thank you.
I guess I want you to just kind of hit on, it wasn't smooth sailing from the start. You took over a program in transition from Division I to Division III, and the wins weren't exactly plentiful when you came on board. How did you both personally, I guess in your own self, as well as the team, how did you stay on track and keep that ultimate goal in mind?
Well, first off, you know, you were right. There wasn't a lot of wins in the first couple seasons. I'm a very competitive guy. It was getting to me. I won't lie. But I knew that it was like the Philadelphia 76ers, right? Trust the process. And that's what I was trying to preach to all the guys, you know, especially my first recruiting class with Cody and Kevin and Q and Travis and all of them is we're going to probably lose a lot of games. We're playing against better teams, Penn State, Mason, NJIT, Princeton, all of them. But let's learn from it. Let's get some good experience from it. So, yes, it was very tough at the beginning. And honestly, in 2015, when we were in D3 for the first year, I was so excited. And then we started the season 0-5. We lost three at Puerto Rico. And then we went to Stevenson and lost to NYU and New Paltz. So at that point, I was hoping the guys were still going to buy into what I was preaching. Because for 3 years, I preached, we're going to be playing teams our level, we'll be competitive. And then we started off the season 0-5. And I did kind of see the guys, not so much not believing in it, but kind of realizing, well, when is it going to change? And then if I remember correctly, I think we won 10 or 11 in a row after that. And then we kind of like started getting going. But yeah, it was tough. It was a challenge. Now looking back at it, I love doing it because I'm not trying to sound cocky or arrogant, but this is my program. I built it up from where it was to now. And I give so much credit for every player that's come through here. Even my previous assistants, Jason Madsen and Christian Portera, they were here from the beginning as well. They helped set the foundation. And now all these guys that just keep coming in, that we built a successful program. When guys come in, it's just now we're expected to win and keep going.
That's a fantastic answer. And something that I thought about, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but a lot of times in coaching, especially I think now and especially on that high level Division I and then professional level, you know, for example, the Orlando Magic fired Frank Vogel this morning after two seasons, and they gave him crap to work with. I find myself, and I think that's because I work so closely with so many coaches, I always tend to lean towards coaches over owners or whatever. And my heart goes out to that, you know, professionally. He makes millions, he'll be fine, whatever. But what are your views on that? You know, do you find like that a lot of times that ownership upper level is not patient enough? I know it's not an apples to apples comparison, but I think you kind of know what I'm getting at.
I mean, we always had this conversation, right, on Monday morning after a football week, you know, somebody loses, oh, they're on the hot seat. And I agree. I don't think people aren't patient anymore in the sports world.
It's crazy.
You know, if Alabama doesn't win one game, oh, they're done. It's like, you know, everyone's going to lose any given Sunday, right? Anyone can win. But I do have to give a lot of credit to Mark Griffin, our athletic director, and, you know, Mary Stadelman, our assistant athletic director. When I first started here, they took the pressure off me. They kept saying, we're D1. We know we're not going to win. So whatever you can do to keep it going, we understand. So when I came in, I didn't have the pressure of, oh, I have to win for my job. You know, now it's a little different, of course, because now we're D3. We're at the same level as everybody. You know, so I put that pressure on myself now. But I think that was really, really big when I started. You know, because Mark gave me my first opportunity as a head coach at a college level. You know, he believed in me. And like I said, when you have your administration, ownership supporting you, it does make it easy. But yeah, I mean, Frank Vogel is a fantastic coach. To get 2 years, I mean, I don't think that's fair. I remember when the coach at Notre Dame for football that's there now. I forget his name.
Kelly.
Yeah, Kelly. He said right off the bat, it's going to be 3 years until I get my system, my guys, and we start rolling. And you know, and they're back up now. So
yeah, I think just in general, from whether it's my job or your job or a lot of people, it takes time to figure things out, get things rolling, and then execute and really see it come to fruition. So
and sometimes people don't realize developing a young man does take time, even at an NBA level. I mean, some of those kids are, what, 21?
Younger than our guys. Yeah.
So it's men mature at later in life, too. So when you get somebody that has so many young kids that has a lot of talent, but they're not developing yet, you have to give 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But it is. It's impatient. No one's patient anymore.
To transition, 7 more wins this year. You know, you're 19-8, 12 wins last year. What's the biggest change for you that you saw, whether it's, you know, a fundamental change in terms of, hey, this person got better, a culture change? What are some of the major reasons you think that you guys were so much more successful this year when compared to last?
It had been the experience. I mean, going into last year, Corey was the only one that really saw any court time. I mean, everybody else, Justin Sandy, Ricky Crumlish, they were Donk, Gutowski, they were all role players. I mean, you know, Dom was behind Nick Cootie and Cody Chidsey for 2 years. Yep. So, you know, this was his chance. You know, they just didn't understand between practice and games. So I think once they started to adapt in that going into this year, you know, they got more reps in a game that means more. I mean, in practice, you know, when those guys would swing, if they made a mistake, you know, I'm not saying, oh, it's a big deal, but it's just practice. So they would work on things. In a game, if you make a mistake, 2 or 3, it counts now. So I think that was a big difference. They got a lot more confidence than last year. And I could tell coming into this year, they wanted it. You know, they still worked hard in the offseason. I mean, this offseason in the fall was probably one of our best in years with being competitive. So I think that's the biggest thing, was just the experience of a real game. You know, not just, oh, you know, it's practice. It's a real game. So
you guys beat Ramapo in the first round of the tournament. It was great to do so at home. Postseason wins are hard to come by. Mm-hmm. You know, that team had nothing to lose, no pressure, and you guys got the job done. What'd you like? And then on the flip side, what needs to improve going into Friday?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, Ramapo came in with, I thought, a lot better team than their record showed. And one thing I preached to my
guys...
And
they played a tough schedule, too.
They did, yeah, so 100%. And one of the things I preached to the guys, I mean, as you know, postseason, you're 0-0. You know, everything you did in regular season was to get us this home game. So I knew it was going to be a tough task. We played them, what, a week before in their gym, and they played well. You know, one of the things I really liked that we did well finally was we were down late in games, and we came back and then closed it. Where a couple weeks ago, we would come back and then just lose like that. So that was one thing I was really proud of the guys for. Keep fighting. We were never out of it. One of the things I know we have to work on is our blocking and defense. You know, Marymount's who we play next. I know that would be your next question, so I jumped the gun. But, you know, that's just something we have to get better at is our blocking. We also, at times, give up way too many points in a row. So against Ramapo, we were lucky enough where we gave up points in a row. We were able to come back. When you're playing some of these top teams now, if you go down 4 or 5, I mean, it's going to be tough to come back. So we really have to minimize our errors. That's the key from here on out.
It's interesting. I think I'm almost hearing you say that you can allow some lulls when the competition is not as strong.
Correct.
When the competition is stronger, it's when I hear you say, you know, side out guys, you got to side, things like that. You just, you know, you really need to, you know, keep going point for point, because when that separation starts, it's so hard to close that gap.
Sure. I mean, if you look at an NBA game between two really good teams, it's sometimes a team that makes more free throws than the other team, you know, and that's kind of like what volleyball is. If you have less hitting errors than the other team, you know, statistically, you have a better chance of winning. So,
yeah, it's funny. It's not a simple sport. No sport is simple, right. But it really is simple.
It's a simple
sport. You know,
sport.
It's like one of those weird, I don't even know the words, like oxymoron, I guess. give me some keys, and I'm going to steal these for the preview that is pretty much written and ready to go. But what? Give me 3-4 keys for the match, and you for the Marymount match, and you already kind of said them, but just give them to me.
You know, the same thing. Minimize our errors. You know, one of the big things we actually worked today on practice on when we played at Marymount. It was game one. It was 17-17 at their gym, and then the next thing you know, they went off on a serving run of three. We sided out, and they went on another serving run of three. So next thing you know, it's just like that. It was 23-18-19. So we worked on that today. You know, really getting ready for some hard jump serves. You know, Marymount is very powerful with that. You know, I told the guys too. I really think going in tomorrow mentally, we have to be ready. I know that's every game, but really tomorrow, be ready. No heads down, no matter what the score is. If we're up 2, up 3, down 6, we're going hard. We're staying with the game plan, and we're going to keep going. And really the game plan is consistency. You know, when we, like I said, last time we played them, we were with them point for point. You know, they're a good team, don't get me wrong. But I think we match up very well against them. And I think if we're passing well and playing some defense – and when I mean defense, it's not, oh, get a dig, set, kill. It's more of get a dig, get it over the net, keep it going, touch some balls on the block. Once again, make their hitters hit shots that they don't want. And if we do that, I think, you know, to me, if we win tomorrow, it's not an upset. I never look at things like that as upsets because we're two good teams battling it out.
That's my job to call them upsets. the CVC conference, it is tough. Yes. And yeah, there might be some lulls in the schedule, but when you look at it from a top to bottom standpoint and from the entirety of the season, it's tough. Can you kind of, how do you navigate through that?
Yeah, I know everyone keeps saying the CVC is one of the second best conferences to the UVC. And if you really look at it, I mean, I know Stevens Tech is very good. Vassar's good over there, New Paltz. But if you really look at the standings with the CVC, I mean, we've always had 3 to 4, even 5 teams ranked throughout the whole year. I mean, you look at that west side. I mean, you got Marymount, Eastern Mennonite, Southern Virginia, who's very tough, and then, you know, Juniata, who, you know, has been around forever, and they're always a dominant team, and Teal. I mean, they had 5 really good teams. And you look at our side, you have Kane, who's been ranked in the, I think, top 5 for most of the year, and we've gotten some votes where we've been up there. And yeah, I mean, when when you're playing the CVC, I mean, it's tough. I mean, you have to bring your A game all the time. And I think that's why we're a better team this year, is because we hung with every conference opponent. We got better from each conference opponent. And now I think at the end of the year, we're battle-tested and ready to go.
Yeah, I agree. Some of those guys that have been battle-tested are those 5 seniors that have been with you, most of them, for the last 4 years. Can you kind of talk about them as a group? And I know, you know, I'd like to do sit down at the end of the season as well, you know, in the next few weeks. But what is the senior class meant?
You know, they're going to go out, if they can go to the NCAA tournament this year, 3 or 4 years in the NCAA tournament, which to me is pretty great. I mean, if we can make the finals, that's 3 of the last 4 years we've been in our conference finals. So, you know, that's an unbelievable accomplishment. I mean, we're even in the semifinals, Final Four, 3 of the last 4 years. So, I mean, that, to me, that, I mean, that's one of the greater classes to leave.
And they're already at 70-some-odd wins. I don't have it, you know, right next to me, but it's an absurd amount of wins.
Yeah, and you know, even when they were younger, I mean, Corey has always been in there, but, you know, Justin has gotten in and been a role player his freshman, sophomore year, same with Ricky. Same with Dom, you know, he got in a couple times to block, and Jalen has now, you know, been here for 2 years, and he's done a great job with us as well. I mean, he's just excited this year that we're winning. We have a chance to go to the tournament. But yeah, I think the group of guys, they're good guys. I know they're going to be successful when they graduate. You know, you can tell they all have dreams of what they want to do after this. And, you know, I think they're getting excited to see that their next chapter in their life is about to start. And they do. They want to finish on a strong note. And I keep telling the guys, and I never like doing this, but even against NYU and Ramapo, I told everybody, let's do it for the seniors. I mean, let's really do it for these guys, because they haven't played as much, but they have the last 2 years, but their whole career they haven't. That I would really like to go out on a bang for them. I really would.
Yeah, that NYU match, man, that was awesome to watch and so much fun. And it was just great that it occurred on senior night. And yes, in the grand scheme of things, you know, the Tuesday, this past Tuesday was, you know, more important in theory, but that was just, you know, special to see that. And I think, you know, after the match, you could tell there was a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment after that, which was awesome from an outsider's perspective.
And one of the things with senior nights too is I know some schools, oh, you always schedule an easy game, and the last 4 years our senior nights have been Juniata, NYU, you know, NYU twice actually in June. I love that because it means that we beat a really good team on a senior night too. It's not just, oh, we're just having somebody in another conference at the bottom. I don't like that. And I tell these guys, when I make the schedule, I don't look at it, oh, I'm going to make a senior night. I told them, like, this is your chance to shine and beat a really good team on a senior night. And they came through. They really did. It was fun.
To transition again a little bit from more of a university perspective, what's your favorite things about Rutgers Newark? Whether it's recruiting here, working here, whatever it is, what do you like about it?
I love talking with all the other coaches. I really think the coaching staff, the administration, a lot of us are close. You know, I was just, you know, Joe Lochran, our basketball coach, you know, just, oh, you know, when do you play next? And, you know, Kristen, our softball coach, texts me, you know, good luck or congrats. Same with Ashley. I know I do that with other coaches. You know, Rizzy, our baseball Juan. So, I mean, I just love that, how close we are. You know, I'm not saying we're all best friends, but we all want everybody to win and be successful. You know, it's kind of funny. You know, I know you're going to jump on this, and I'm jumping ahead again, but when I went to NJIT, you know, Rutgers Newark and us were big rivals. So when I came to take this job, it kind of felt a little bit like I sold my soul to the devil, because it was kind of like the Yankees and Red Sox type of thing. And seeing Derek Jeter in a Red Sox uniform would make people go crazy. So it's kind of funny to this day. I mean, I love my wife to death, but she still won't wear Rutgers stuff. She went to NJIT as well. So, but what now? I mean, I've been here 7 years. I love being here. I really do. Like I said, I love the interaction we have with everybody, and you know, it's just fun. I enjoy it.
You alluded to it. You played at NJIT. Mm-hmm. And you did that Then and Now feature that hopefully everybody can go check out on the website.
Ooh, cheap plug.
Got to drive those numbers. let's go at it this way. Playing days at NJIT as a Division III and a Division I player, you guys transitioned. Your days as a in pharmaceutical, as a pharmaceutical sales, no, I excuse me, pharmaceutical scientist, excuse me, you said that earlier and I still butchered it. What are some of the things that you can apply to your playing days and your other career that you do apply to coaching, maybe from a general standpoint, from a plan? What are some things that you've been able to take?
It's sometimes when I'm coaching, I just get that feel when I was a player on the court. Like you can feel something about to happen. You can feel when the momentum is starting to shift. And I really believe that's a big part of from when I play. Like I, as a coach, I can feel it. Sometimes that helps me with timeouts, or sometimes I know when not to call timeout because I can feel that something's about to shift. When I worked in pharmaceuticals, I think what's helped me with coaching is my management skills. You know, dealing with so many different people. I mean, I dealt with people in Switzerland, all over the world. So I think that really helped me. It's funny, I tell this story. One of my bosses gave me a project to do. I was nowhere near qualified for this project, and I was the lead of the project, and I had to do a presentation in front of a director and all his people. And after the project was done, I said to my boss, why did you put me in charge of this? And I still remember this. She said to me, well, you were an athlete. I know you don't understand what pressure is. And I knew that you would just go in and knock it dead. And from then on, that's why I try to teach these guys. You guys are athletes. The real world, as I call it, loves athletes, because they know that you're ready for a challenge. You're ready for this. You don't understand that things go down. You know, you guys don't put your heads down all the time. So that's something that I learned from there too, is wow, you know, people see athletes as good workers as well. But you know, I got a lot from working in pharmaceutical. Like I said, dealing with so many different type of people, that I think that's helped me with coaching too.
Yeah, I think resiliency and the resolve in athletes, especially, you know, your athletic leaders, really translates to the real world. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you're going to get beaten down professionally.
Yes.
And having that, you know, getting, you know, coming through adversity as on a court or on a field has helped me, and I know it helps, you mm-hmm. know, everybody else. Newark, the city, it's seemingly undergoing a major revolution over the past few years. Can you Do you see that? Like, I see it. I've only really been here for 3 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember...
Well, you've been here for 20.
Yeah. I remember flying into Newark in 1996 when I was getting recruited. And it was not a very pleasant sight. I mean, going from Newark to the campus, it was not very pleasant. And there was times during my 4 years at NJIT, I always wondered, you know, why did I come here? But once Cory Booker took over as mayor, you know, I do give him a lot of credit. I mean, Whole Foods here now. I mean, just the transition of how it is. I mean, just the safety of it. You know, my daughter is probably going to come here in a couple years, and I feel very safe and knowing that she'll be here. Where maybe 15, 20 years ago, I don't know if I really wanted her to, but it is. I love coming here. I won't lie. I mean, this is where I met my wife, and this is where my life kind of took off. So there's a special part of Newark in my heart that I always want them to do well as a city. And I do. I really think they do. I think more people should give this place a chance. I know sometimes when I'm recruiting people, they all already think of Newark as the slums or this and that. And when I finally tell recruits, just come and visit. If you don't like it after, that's fine. But just come and look. And I'm telling you, Rob, 9 times out of 10, when kids come here, their parent, oh, wow, it's nice here. So it really has gotten better. And I think in the next 10 years, it's going to be even better than what it is now. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's the changes just over the past three have been mm-hmm. incredible for me to witness. And, you know, I was walking to get some food yesterday. And I was, you know, just all those different options. And yes. To me, that screams revitalization and up and coming. So, you know, I think it's going to continue. And hopefully I can save enough money and invest in some real estate yes. before the prices go too high.
I mean, what, 5 years ago, there was only a Subway restaurant around here.
Yep.
Rob's Pizza. I mean, yep. I mean, now it's, I don't even know what I want to eat sometimes. There's so many options.
Very true. To finish off, I think a lot of times your own student athletes and parents, and the perception is in general is, as a volleyball coach, all you do is volleyball. I know because we're so close to each other and we speak, you know, every single day, that that's not the case. And I, you know, let that come through a little bit. Food. What do you like to do for food?
I love a good Philly cheesesteak. I love a good pizza as well. I don't eat well at all, I know that, but I love those things.
Favorite sports teams?
Well, I always stick to my roots. I'm a huge Green Bay Packer fan. I'm a cheesehead. I do like the Brewers and the Bucks and the Wisconsin Badgers, but ever since I came out here, I am a Mets fan. I do like them to win. I never want to see the Yankees ever win. I know you're a Giants fan. I'm not against the Giants or Jets. I don't mind them, but I did, when I came out here, I said, you know, I got to pick one team to like if I'm going to stay out here. So I am a Mets fan as well.
God, the Mets are playing great. What do you grew up in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
What do you miss most?
I haven't been really there in over 20 years. I think if anything, the clean air. You know, it's just a different lifestyle. I mean, it's, I don't want to say people are nicer, but they kind of are. It's so much more laid back. It's not as fast as out here, but I mean, I'm always from there. I love the place. I mean, one of my goals is, you know, I want to get out there to coach a match in my home state. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a good state. I'm proud of it. I can't think of one thing I really miss. There was a bakery by my house that made awesome donuts. So if anything, I miss that.
We, a couple times a year, my fiance and I will go to Connecticut, where I'm from. And at night, I always make it a point to make us go outside and say, yeah, that's what the stars actually look like. Because she's from Brooklyn. We live in Jersey City, New York City, you know, whatever. You don't even see stars.
Correct.
And when you go out, it's like, damn, those things exist like that. And
yeah.
I always get a kick out of that because I that's what I miss, the clean air and some of the scenery sometimes. And I don't think I'll ever move back to that type of area. I think I need a little bit more life around me
right.
all the time. But that air and that cleanness always is always nice to see.
I always tell people, too, when I first moved out here in 96, I couldn't sleep because I couldn't believe how noisy it was, just in general. And then when I went back to Wisconsin, I couldn't sleep because I couldn't believe how quiet it was. And my dad always got mad at me because I had to leave the TV on. I needed some sort of noise to fall asleep because I just got so used to the sirens or this and that. So,
favorite TV shows? Couple.
Ooh, you and I always talk about this. I love all the stuff on Netflix with Marvel, with Jessica Jones and all those. I love The Office. My family and I are watching now is The Goldbergs. That's a huge one I watch. I love that show. Growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, my wife and I really reference a lot of stuff from it. But there's so many great stuff on TV right now. I mean, it's enjoyable to watch anything.
It's almost too much.
Yes.
Movies, you kind of just alluded to what I'm sure you're going to hit on.
Yeah, I'm a huge Marvel guy. I'm also a big Star Wars nut and Lord of the Rings. But
So a little bit of a nerd.
You had to go there, right? See, this is probably something.
And I love it. I love it. I'm a huge nerd. I read books about TV shows, so I'll happily admit that I like stats. So don't. Yes. We're both nerds.
I try not to say I'm a nerd, but when you really think about what I just said, yes, I am. You know, I don't mind DC, but I'm more Marvel. I think what they've done in the last 10 years has just been unbelievable, and I can't wait for Infinity Wars. I mean, even with the last Star Wars, I always see it the night before it even comes out, and this and that. So. I always goof around and say I felt I was a decent athlete because I had Jedi skills. You know, you could see stuff before it happened, and my wife always rips on me for that. But
screw them all, whatever. anything else you got for us?
You know, I right now I'm. It's a great part of my life. Both my kids are in high school. They're both playing volleyball, varsity, and it's just, you know, it's just fun to be able to, when I go and recruit. It's weird because when I go to games to recruit, my son is on the other side, or when I was recruiting for females, my daughter's on the other side. So it's just a fun part of my life right now. You know, we're winning, we're having fun, you know, with my family life. It's, you know, it's just, can't complain about everything. Life is good.
How many weeks is there at any point in the 52 weeks of a calendar year that you step away from volleyball completely?
Over the summer, it usually dies down a little bit. After Boys Nationals, after the 4th of July, usually from that point until August when girls' season comes up, so maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But my kids just love the sport, so we're always doing something. Usually over the summer on Sundays, the club that I help out with, Six Pack, they'll have Sunday practices, so sometimes we go there. And like I said, it's to be coaching the sport and then coaching your kids is just... It makes it that much better. It's awesome.
Well, thanks for the time, Coach. I know you're A, busy, and B, in the midst of, you know, planning for a big match, but I really appreciate the time, and best of luck to you guys and the entire, you know, especially those seniors and everybody. Best of luck to you guys tomorrow, Friday night against Marymount over in Union at Kane University, CVC semifinals. I'll be there and wish you guys nothing but the best.
I appreciate it. Thank you.